You're not alone.
Hello there, and welcome to another episode of the Salt Mines X-Wing Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the backbone of the X-Wing community. That's right, people just like you doing what they can to get better at the game. I'm Sailor Joe, and today we are going to be talking about a couple different things. But before we get into that, let's go into our normal housekeeping stuff. And we'll start with our biggest news is we are now moving to a new date and time. And this is due to a couple different reasons. The main one being that in-person play has started back up again. And I was initially doing this on Thursdays. The problem is Thursdays when my gaming group wants to get together and record the podcast. So because of that, we're going to move this now to Wednesday. And the time's going to be a little bit more in flux just because I do have a daytime job, although you can't see it by looking at my face right now. I am enjoying a little bit of leave. We will be recording an episode on Wednesdays, and instead of every week, we're going to be doing every other week, and we may bump that down to once a month, depending on how much content I have. Just life has been very busy for me lately, and I want to make sure that I'm providing good content for you all, and not just slapping things together. All right, and then the next thing of business that I wanted to get to was we are still planning on doing the Patreon giveaway. And for those that don't know, here's the deal. Once I reach 5 patrons, I'll be doing a small ship giveaway monthly, and that'll be recurring every month. At 10 people, I'll be moving that up to a medium-based ship, and at 15 or more, I'll be doing a squadron pack or large ship giveaway. So this will be a good opportunity for you to get in and try to win some ships. And all it costs you is a small amount of Patreon membership to this channel. Now, there are two tiers. The first tier gets you one entry into those giveaways. That is at $1 a month. The second tier is $5 a month, and that gets you 3 entries into the giveaway, so increasing your chances. Also, I am working on designing a new token. Once I can get that created, that will be going out to all current patron members. I will be doing a very small number of limited runs, so if you want a chance to get that token, I hope to be teasing it here soon. So with all that said, let's get into the big news. There is a new rules forum posted by AMG, and you can get to there by going to forums.atomicmassgames.com/forum/43/star/wars/x/wing/rules/questions. Now, I realize a lot of that is my it's totally blanking me. It just comes from a lot of my technical lingo, just from how I brought up in the military. TAC is dash, for those that don't know that term. So anytime I said TAC, just put a dash in there and you'll be able to find that. And it is all kinds of information for those that are watching either live or recorded. You'll be able to see, you can come in here and ask any questions that come to mind, and the judges will respond. So here's one. R2-D2 crew, what happens if direct hit is flipped? Does the direct hit damage resolve before or after recovering a shield? So, all in the question, R2-D2 text below. During the end phase, if you are damaged and not shielded, you may roll one attack die to recover one shield. On a hit result, expose one of your damage cards. The question comes from a semi-recent FAQ about paying cost following Nantex release, where the effect of paying the cost gets resolved after you fully resolve the ability. Does this change anything for R2-D2? What's the correct sequence if exposing a direct hit? And here is the official answer from AMG. No, there is no cost associated with R2-D2 crew. This is an optional ability you may use to recover a shield that has a potential consequence with regards to exposing a direct hit. as you would have already recovered a shield. The direct hit would then remove it. So there you go. And it answers the question. And there are 3 pages of these already, as well as some pin posts, which I think are important to post or to talk about here. One is the official card erratas. Now, these are currently hosted on Fantasy Flex Games. I do suspect that these will eventually move over to be hosted by AMG. Wow, my brain is just half here today. But you can go in here and you can go into support down to X-Wing Errata reference. And you can print this PDF. And what I did actually for this is I printed out all of these cards and then I cut out the text block. And because I used sleeve cards, I just taped that text block over the card where it was and put it back in the sleeve. And it looks like the original card. It's actually really neat. And the fact that you can come back in here and check all of this stuff as they update it, very helpful. I think this is incredibly well done. And it just goes over, there's some timing issues that were resolved, and just some other cards. Like, hold on, I just want to go back and cover some of these. What was the... Sorry, we already know about Hera. Nora, just a slight text change. Goji, what his was. Finn Rao even changed a little bit, which is his ability now reads, before an enemy ship in your firing arc engages, if you are not stressed, you may gain 1 stress token. If you do, that ship cannot spend tokens to modify dice while it performs an attack during this phase. That has the potential to be huge. Now, if only his points would drop a little bit, so he's a little bit more playable. The other one that I noticed is Stalwart Captain. This was originally a Rebel-only card, but now good in for all of your epic ships. And then just a few other little changes here and there. I encourage you to go over and look at them. The next one that I want to talk about is we have an FAQ and a rules reference corrections. If you click on that, it'll go into and it'll give you all of the rules references where they can be found. Now, one of the things that I did, and again, this is also because ITO, is I went in and printed out, made myself a binder with all the rules reference, tournament data, everything, which currently can be found under the Rules tab on Fantasy Flight Games, X-Wing 2nd Edition page. And I went through and I printed out all of these so that when I'm TOing an event, I can go through and point to a specific rule. And that just helps with my rulings. Some changes to planning phase, ion, range, devices, FAQs on the ability queue, fleeing, new Padme interaction. Like, all of this stuff is incredibly good information to have and you should be aware of, and I highly encourage you to check it out. Again, to get to that, you're going to go to forums.atomicmassgames.com/forum/43-star-wars-x-wing-rules-questions. And that is how you get to, and you can go through and see. And from what it looks like, they are responding incredibly quickly to any questions. All right, so that's what I wanted to talk about on there. Please please go and check this out. This forum is also applies to the Legion and Marvel Crisis Protocol. AMG is doing a tremendous job of getting in and really addressing this community, which I think is something that's needed to happen for quite some time. So, Bravo Zulu, we look forward with interest, AMG, as you continue this type of user support. Now, the next thing that I wanted to talk about is the upcoming Gold Squadron Galaxies tournament that are now, I've plugged this several times. Gold Squadron is doing an amazing thing to keep the community involved and engaged. And so we have already had Mon Cal and Bestman. Next is Lemieux, which is a hyperspace event happening June 26th. Now, I am planning on flying in this one. It's going to be an very interesting thing. But please, if you love this game as much as myself and the other podcasters do, please support these events. Play in them. It's an incredibly fun time. And I highly, highly encourage you to do that. I'm going to talk a little bit about, as this is my podcast, I'm going to talk a little bit about what I'm flying, and I'm going to build it up for you and explain kind of how I got there, and talk about what my expectations are for Saturday's event. So first, I'm going to jump over to Yasby here. Now, this is a hyperspace tournament. So, and for those that have followed the podcast for a while, you knew that I put a list together that I called Kylo and Friends, that I managed to go top 16 in the recruit championship with, and that was Kylo Ren with, slow down, Joe. Here we go. Kylo Ren with extreme maneuvers and advanced proton torpedo, with Gideon Hask, and then I was running two First Order TIE Fighters. I was running Scorch, and I was running Static. And I had, I believe, Fanatical on Scorch and Proud Tradition on Gideon Hask. That comes in at 195. I did go top 16 on this list, and I enjoyed flying it. But I wanted to make some changes to it. I wanted to fly something new. So I started the next list that I came up with was, again, I'm trying hyperspace. So I left Gideon, Scorch, and Static in there. And I'm like, well, let me get a Juke Ember in there. And I wanted another ship. So, and this was hyperspace. So I cleared out some stuff here. And I decided, hey, I'm going to try a Zeta Squadron with, I think I put concussions on. Or no, I need a passive, so I put tracers. But I didn't like the damage output on this. And so I was looking at the list and kind of doing test fly. And what I realized was static was kind of the weak link in there. And I really kind of built this Rube Goldberg machine to make static work. And it just wasn't working. So I decided, let's nix static. So now I've got Scorch, Ember, and Gideon. And I wanted to get a silencer in there. And I wanted everyone to move at the same time. So I added recoil. Right, so now here's where, and put Predator on there, and I kind of played around with this a little bit. I had Fanatical on Scorch. I like Proud Tradition on there, so I had 9 points left, and I didn't really know where to put them. So one of the ones that I found is actually really good, and we talked about this card not being helpful for the First Order, but I actually think it really is, and that's Protectorate Gleb. Now he reads, after you coordinate a friendly ship, you may transfer one orange or red token to the ship you coordinated. Now, I find this incredibly useful, especially since everyone's moving at the same time. I can move Gideon first, get that coordinate off, and get rid of that stress token to really open up his dial to make him effective. Now, I still had 7 points left over, so I kind of went back and forth between a hull upgrade on Ember to make her a little bit, or him, a little bit more survivable, or the other one that I tried was Agent Terex on Gideon Hask. And I like both of those, but there was still something lacking in this list, and I couldn't quite figure it out. And what it boiled down to was Scorch. I like Scorch. Scorch is an incredibly efficient ship, but he's either hot or cold. Like, there's not really an in-between, and his damage output isn't really there. So I wanted to put some spike damage in this list. So I nicked Scorch out, and I wanted some spike damage. So the spike damage is either, and I liked the survivability on Ember, so I put the whole upgrade on Ember. So now that makes Ember a little bit more survivable. So I needed some spike damage. So the spike damage was either going to be, it was going to be a procket. So it was either going to be on Ember, or I can kind of double modify it, or on recoil. And I decided that I liked it on recoil because it kind of plays on recoil's ability, which, if you don't know, is while you are stressed, you may treat enemy ships in your front firing arc as being in your bullseye arc. So now with Predator and Procket, now at range one, if I'm stressed, I've got that whole arc open for rerolls on primary attacks or to knock those Prockets out. But I still needed a fourth ship, and I've got about 30 points left over. Well, you know what fits in perfect there and is incredibly efficient for the points? Lieutenant Revis in the Typho. Now, given not everyone's moving at I-4 now, but letting Revis get out there and act as a blocker to really disrupt enemy formations, I found that this actually worked well. So this is the list that I'm going to be flying. And it's got a little bit of built-in synergy, and it's just been fun for me to fly. But now let's talk about expectations, because I've got a list that I enjoy flying, which I think is important to do. Remember, if we go back to our rules of sportsmanship, one of the ones that I constantly brought up was enjoy the game for the game's sake, right? So you got to fly a list that you want to fly. That's more important than anything that you do. But let's talk expectations. Well, we know from previous times talking about my record that I am a 2-4 player. Like, that's just generally how it works out. So I'm not expecting much more than that. I'm expecting to go and have a good time. I know I'm capable of making cut because I've done it before. I've done it online. I've done it in person. So I can do it, but I'm just going there to have fun. I put a list together that intrigues me to fly, has some spike damage, has some consistency, has a little bit of control with Ember in her ability, or his ability, is while you perform an attack, if there is a damage-friendly ship to the defender at range zero, while you perform an attack, if there is a damage ship friendly to the defender at range 0 to 1 of the defender cannot spend focus or calculate tokens. And we've got Juke on Ember. So we've got that target lock for dice modification. We've got the evade that kind of helps with survivability, that I can ditch pretty much whenever I need to. It works better since she's I-4, which is critical in a high 3 heavy meta. And then keeping them from being able to spend focus tokens. And then if they're damaged, both Gideon and Lieutenant Revis can roll an extra dice, which is also huge. So I really like the list. It's been fun, and I'm expecting to go 2-4. If I can get better than that, awesome. But I'm going to have fun, and I'm going to do the biggest part that I need to work on, which is not beat myself up over silly mistakes and actually enjoy the tournament for the tournament's sake. So you heard me say it now. That's the plan. All right. I think that's all that I was planning on talking about today. As always, if you'd like to support the podcast, please consider leaving a review on however you consume it, whether it's through Podbean or Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google Play. However you consume it, please consider leaving a review. And if you really like it, please consider becoming a patron. You can find me at patreon.com/saltminesxwing. Now, I do pay attention to the reviews that I've gotten so far, and one of them was talking about an issue with my audio. I am working on fixing that, so this is attempt number one. Please, if you are noticing that problem, continue to let me know, and I'm going to continue to make tweaks to make this happen. All right, and if you'd like to reach out and chat, you can catch me on Discord at Sailor Joe V. I am on most of the X-Wing Discord channels. Or you can tweet me at SaltXWing or email me at saltminesxwing@gmail.com. And as you know, I like to end every podcast with a question. And the question for this episode is, what do you think of AMG's new form? And do you plan on using it? All right. As always, this is Sailor Joe, signing off. Look past that.